Hi everyone, I'm Donovan Brown, Principal Program Manager at Microsoft. And today I'm going to be showing you how we can enter the DevOps pipeline from a different perspective. Yesterday in the keynote, you saw me stay inside the browser the entire time, yet build an entire pipeline. Yesterday in a live stream, I went and I showed you how we could do that from inside of Visual Studio. And then I showed you again how we could do it from the command line. And today we're going to take an Azure pivot on that as well. I also thought I'd have some more fun today. You always see me on stage talking about any language, any platform. So today I'm doing this entire demo off of my Linux machine just to add some more fun to the demo today. So for those who do not know who I am, my name is Donovan Brown. I am the Principal Program Manager for DevOps at Microsoft. I'm responsible for the DevOps vision on top of Team Foundation Server and Visual Studio Team Services. I blog quite often at donovanbrown.com, but the number one way to get a hold of me is Twitter. I'm on it all the time. It's a great way to ask me questions, and also you'll get a lot of your questions answered by some of my followers who are all diehard agilists, diehard DevOps guys, and women. And I have a lot of great people like Angela Dugan who also follow me, and I'll help answer questions that people have when it comes to DevOps. I'm a big fan of being on Channel 9 as often as I possibly can. I'm a co-host of Azure Friday, co-host of Visual Studio Toolbox, and I host my own show called DevOps Interviews. So trying to get you as much DevOps richness and information as we possibly can through those channels. So please follow me on Twitter, tweet your questions at me so that we can get them answered for you. Today what we're going to be focusing on are just a few things. First of all, let's just level set. What is DevOps? It's going to be an important thing for us to make sure that we all agree upon. Then I'm going to talk about the prerequisites required to follow along with this particular demo that we're going to be doing today. Then I'm going to take you on a quick tour of Visual Studio Team Services. Nothing too exhaustive. You've seen it quite a few times. But it is the backbone of every DevOps pipeline that you've seen me do. Regardless if I use YoTeam from a command line, the continuous integration plugin, continuous delivery plugin for Visual Studio, if I stay inside Visual Studio Team Services, or I come from Azure, all of those DevOps pipelines are built inside Visual Studio Team Services. So we're going to see that again today. Then we're going to show you a new extension point inside of the Azure portal that will allow you to create an entire DevOps pipeline right from the portal. So this is going to be great for those who spend the majority of their time there. You have IT pros who spend a lot of time inside the Azure portal, who want to be champions for DevOps. You don't have to go learn Visual Studio. You don't have to go to another website. You can literally stay inside the portal and be that champion for DevOps on your team, even if that's where you live most of the time. Then we're going to go talk and see about the CI and CD pipeline that's built for you, ways that you can extend that pipeline further beyond what it does out of the box for you. And then finally, we're just going to have a quick wrap-up where we'll talk about what we've actually seen today. So what is DevOps? DevOps is the union of people, process, and products to enable continuous delivery of value to our end users. This is the only way I could think to succinctly say this powerful concept that is DevOps. And obviously the most important part of that is the people. They're the most difficult to convince that this is a good idea, even now. I remember when we had these same debates over Agile, and I think most people now believe that Agile is the best way to develop software. And I believe once you've gotten really, really good at Agile and you're producing these small increments of deliverable software, it's time for you to now deliver that software. Let's go ahead and take that value from the fingertips of your developers and put it into the hands of your users. And DevOps is going to help you do that. It's going to allow you to automate as much as you possibly can, to reduce as much human error and human intervention as you can, so that that value just flows right into the hands of your users. And that's what we want to do. So there's people involved, and we got to make sure that people believe. And I hope that demonstrations like this one's, the tools that we build here at Microsoft, are going to help convince those people that not only is this the right thing to do, but we can actually do this. It's not something for just the unicorns. I think Gene Kim said, horses can do this too, right? This is for everyone. And in 9 minutes on stage, I built an entire pipeline. It doesn't take you a long time to do. And I don't want people feeling that they have to go ask permission to go do the right thing for your company. DevOps is the right thing. There's no more debating that. You either do it or you lose. I mean, it's pretty much that simple. And there's no need for you to go ask permission. Just take half your lunch, set up a CI system. Take half your lunch and deploy your package from your CI system into your dev environment. Next week, go and move it to QA and slowly build up that pipeline. But take your weekends back, take your nights back, right? That's what you're sacrificing by not having a DevOps pipeline, is the time that you spend fixing problems that would have been avoided completely had you done it in a much more consistent, automated, and a best practice way, which we're going to talk about today. So That's what DevOps is, so let's talk about how we can actually implement some of this using the Azure portal. So what are the prerequisites? What are the things that you're going to need to be able to follow along today as we go through this demonstration? First one you're going to need is you're going to need a Visual Studio Team Services account. I like to say that Visual Studio Team Services is everything that you need to turn an idea into a working piece of software. And I mean everything. Starts with the idea, so we have work item tracking, bug tracking, test case management, task tracking. We have the ability for you to do Kanban boards, backlogs, delivery plans. We have the ability for you, after that idea starts to take shape, it starts taking shape in the form of source code. That source code can now be versioned inside of Git or Team Foundation Server version control. Once the version control is happening, it's time for you to start building that. And we offer you continuous integration services that can build on any platform. And it can build any language. And I'll be talking about that over and over again. I did a tour of Europe back in December, and every place I went was blown away that we could do more than just .NET. So I'm here trying to get the awareness out that Visual Studio Team Services is for any language targeting any platform. Okay, another thing, after you have your CI, you might also produce packages as part of your CI build. Those packages, be it NuGet or NPM, can be stored in package management inside of Visual Studio Team Services. Once all of that goodness has been packaged up, it's time for us to start delivering it, and we can do that using release management. Release management would take those zeros and ones and automatically deploy them for you to Linux, Mac, Azure, someone else's cloud, on-prem, iOS, Android, Windows Phone, Raspberry Pi, I don't care what your device is. Just let me know where you want this code, and we'll figure out a way to get it there using our build system and our release system. Any language, any platform. After you have your Team Services account, which I'll show you how to set one of those up real quickly and create a new team project, we're going to need a Azure account. Both of these items you can get for free. So you can go to visualstudio.com and create a free Team Services account. You can go to Azure and start up a trial subscription so that you can follow along with what I'm going to be doing today and get your feet wet. If you are an MSDN subscriber, you already have access to Azure. All right, so we give you credits every single month for you to go out into Azure and play with it however you see fit. Start playing with bots or functions. You might want to start playing with Azure Container Registry and Container Service. You might want to go out and just start doing some things for your mobile applications. There's so much value in Azure, and we're giving it to you, MSDN subscribers, every single month. So please take advantage of that and go play with it. Once you have your account, we're ready to go ahead and start rocking and rolling. Where we're going to begin is we're going to actually begin in Visual Studio Team Services, because what we're going to need is a project, a home for our source code that we're going to want to deploy inside of Azure. And what we're going to do is we're going to create a team project, and inside that team project we're going to import some code, and then that's the code that we're then going to deploy into Azure. But we're not going to build the pipeline from within Visual Studio Team Services. We're actually going to have Azure do that for us. And then it's going to go off and create a CI build. It's going to create a continuous delivery into a website for us. We're going to have it run load test and use deployment slots, a lot of cool stuff. And it's going to automatically set it up. What's really nice about it, though, is it's your pipeline, which means you will have complete access to going in there and modifying it, enhancing it, adding environments, whatever you see fit, once the pipeline has been built for you. So let's go ahead and talk about, again, what is it? It's everything. So I'm not going to belabor this slide. This slide is essentially what I just described to you. Visual Studio Team Services is source control, CI/CD, any language, any platform, work item tracking, package management, test case management, everything that you possibly need to turn an idea into a working piece of software. We're just going to focus on CI and CD today. We're going to peek a little bit at source control because we're going to need to bring some source code into the project, but we're not going to talk about the rest of this in detail. We'll have to make sure we come back and do some other sessions on these other areas. So now what I'm going to do is switch over to Visual Studio Team Services. So here I am inside of my web browser, and here I am inside of the welcome page of Team Services. Go to visualstudio.com, create a new account, and you will be brought to a page very similar to this one where you can go ahead and create a new project. What I'm going to do now is go ahead and create a new project called DevOps from Portal, because we're going to be basically enabling DevOps from the portal. And if I wanted to, I could choose different types of source control. I can use Git, or I can use TFVC, which is a centralized version control. We also have process templates. We have both Agile, Scrum, and CMMI. And we obviously have visibility for our particular project. Now, when I click on Create, it says, all right, I'm going to go create you a project with this name. I'm going to give you a version control system that is based off of Git. And what's really nice is that if you decide later that you wish you had chosen centralized and TFVC, you can go back in and add that to an existing project. So we actually allow you to have both source control systems side by side. Some of your projects are in Git, some of your projects are in centralized. For whatever reason you decide, we'll be able to go ahead and support that for you. The other thing is that we allow you to have three different process templates, which are really cool. A process template is, they're the rules that govern the way that you write software. If you're a Scrum team, for example, you're going to use words like product backlog item, impediment, and sprint. But if you are an Agile team, you would use words like user story, issue, and iteration. And if you're a CMMI or basically a waterfall company, you're going to say things like requirement and risk and change request. Those templates understand that. So when you choose the template that matches how you write software, the tool will use words and a vocabulary that matches the way that you speak on your team. So when you're in your daily stand-up and you say, who has an impediment, when you go to the tool, it's called an impediment, and it matches directly with what you're talking about. So choose the template that most closely represents the way that you write software and allow the tool to help you do the right thing in your process. Now here we are, and we need to get some source code. Now, like I said before, this is just Git, so if you use Git today, you already know how to use this as well. Here's the URL you would go and clone. Or, if you wanted to, you can actually import code from other repositories. I made a joke on stage that I hate paying for stuff that I can get for free. Sort of a joke, actually it's a true statement as well. And I wanted to show you this really cool import feature that allows me to basically put in the URL of another Git repository, and then simply say import. And what it's going to do now is actually go back in there. URL's incorrect. Too many T's there. And what it's going to do now is it's going to go over to that repository, and it's going to pull over all of the source code, all of the history, everything that I need. So if I'm paying for that other repository, I could literally just do this and then shut off the other one, get all that money back, and then come over here and do unlimited private repos for free. So just that quickly, I've created a project, and I've imported source code from another repository, and I'm ready to go. If I had source code already on my machine, I could just go ahead and clone the repo, add the files, and commit them. However you want to get your source into your repository, it's completely up to you. But that's all we have to do now inside Visual Studio Team Services. The rest of this work is now going to be done inside of Azure. Before we get there, let's go back to our slides. So we created a team project. That was step number one. Now what we're going to do is we're going to move over into the Azure portal. Now, for those who don't know what Azure is basically Microsoft's cloud. So think of the Amazon has a cloud, Google has a cloud, IBM has a cloud, and so do we. We have a cloud that has more regions than all the others combined. We are stamping these things out as fast as we possibly can, and inside of them are millions and millions of cores and machines that basically allow you to do whatever you want. If you want to write bots, if you want to write functions, if you need just a way to offload your data center that's currently on-prem and costing you a lot of money to run and generators and maintenance and hard drives failing and you just don't want to deal with that anymore, you can lift and shift those Windows and Linux workloads from your own data center and put them in our data center for you instead, and then we'll manage a lot of that for you, make sure the lights stay on, the power keeps running, things like that. That's if you want to just lift and shift into Azure. The other way is PaaS, which is my personal favorite, which is Platform as a Service, where I don't even know if there's a server back there. I mean, obviously I know there is a server running it, but I don't care about it. I never have to patch it. I never have to reboot it. I never have to concern myself with any of the aspects of maintaining a virtual machine. I simply say, I need a virtual directory for my web app. Go put it over there. You handle the rest. I'm just going to keep cranking out value. You deal with everything else. I think PaaS, in my personal opinion, is the holy grail of the internet and of the cloud. That's where you want to go. Let someone else deal with the low stuff so that I can focus on delivering value. And that's exactly the portion of Azure that we're going to be using today. Again, you can start for free with a trial, or if you already have an MSDN subscription, you already have access to Azure. So please go use your Azure benefits and start playing with it and just see what cool stuff that you can build. Now, let's go configure CI and CD, but from the Azure portal. So like I said again, we're going to return to Visual Studio Team Services to see what was built for us, but we're not going to actually configure anything inside of Team Services. So this is a different pivot from the demo you saw me do on stage. We're using the same project, but you saw me go inside Visual Studio and Team Services, and I built the repository and the build and the release. This time it's all going to be built for me. So let's switch over again to my web browser. I'm done with Team Services, so I'm going to go over to my Azure portal. So this is the Azure portal, and this is where you can see on the left-hand side all the different types of resources that I can create. And what I want to do now is create a new resource. What I'm actually going to be creating is something called a web app. A web app just says I need a virtual directory so that I can go host my web application. It could be .NET or Java, Node.js, PHP, Python, Golang, whatever it is that you're working on, you can actually host those web apps inside of our web applications, and you never have to worry about anything happening on the underlying server that runs your code for you, which is really nice. So we're going to go create a web app, and then all I have to do is give the web app a a name here. So let me go back here. I'm not sure why my... Let's go back. I need to create a new one here and see why it's complaining at me. I want another web app, and it's telling me I need to switch my subscription. Interesting. Switch my directory and see if this is going to get me where I want to go. If not, we're going to call an audible on this machine and go somewhere else. But let me see if I can go ahead and get this one to work for us here real quick. We're going to try to create another web app here. I was hoping to do this off my Linux machine, but now all of a sudden my Linux machine is not wanting to play nice. Try once again. We're going to go web app and see if we make any further. We're having some technical difficulties here. Give me one second. I'm going to call a quick audible here, switch to another browser session, and see if I can get us back on track here. So let's go ahead and click new. And we're going to go web app. For some reason, I don't know why my other browser is not playing nice, but we're going to say DevOps from portal. And copy this. We're also going to create what we call a resource group. A resource group is a logical grouping of everything that I want that maintains to my particular project. So let's say, for example, I'm going to have a web app, I'm going to have a Redis cache, a SQL Server database, I'm going to have, a load balancer, and I want all that stuff grouped together so that if I need to delete it or move it or recreate it, I can do it all as a unit, and that's what we call a resource group. So I'm going to create a resource group with the exact same name as my web apps, just so they can kind of all make sense. I'm also going to create what we call a service plan. An app service plan is how you pay for your resources. So this is basically me saying, what size machine would I want to run my website? Even though I'm never going to really have to worry about dealing with it, I can still tell you basically how much capacity I think I'm going to need. Maybe I'm going to put a lot of different websites on the same app service, which basically means what kind of machine do I want it to be on. So I'm going to go ahead and pick a standard one. And then I want to do application insights. Part of the definition of DevOps was value. To make sure I can deliver value, I need to be able to monitor my application when it's running in production to make sure that what I just delivered was actually valuable to my end users. Otherwise, I'm just copying files to a server and I have no idea if it adds value or not. So with that done now, I'm going to go ahead and click on create. And what it's going to do now is it's going to go off and create a web application that will be the home for my application that we're about to go ahead and create. So I did some dry runs earlier to make sure this was going to work, so I can go ahead and delete that. And if all else fails, I do have a dry run, so I have like a cook. Basically, the cake's already in the oven. We're going to try to bake the cake right here live, but if should anything bad happen, don't worry. I can still show you everything that I want to show you when it comes to creating a DevOps pipeline from the Azure portal. So it's creating the resource group. Inside the resource group, it's creating my web application. That web application, I will then be able to configure continuous delivery, which is a new preview feature. So it's in preview. We want your feedback. Feel free to follow along as you start to use it. If you feel some things that we could do better, please make sure you let us know. You can tweet at me or however you want to get a hold of me. On the left-hand side, you might recognize deployment options. That's not what I'm talking about. What we're going to be building is almost like the big brother, a more mature version of the deployment options. Continuous delivery is the concept of CI feeding into a CD pipeline that allows me to go to multiple environments, run load tests, allow me to run functional tests as part of my delivery. The other one, you kind of basically create a repo. Every time the repo changes, it automatically deploys your code, but you have no control over the CI. You have no way to plug in more additional testing. With the continuous delivery, you will be able to do that. So if I click on continuous delivery here, it's basically going to give me the option to configure continuous delivery using Team Services as the backing feature for us. So what it's doing now is it's basically trying to figure out, who am I? What accounts do I have access to? And now it says, great, why don't we go ahead and set up a complete continuous delivery pipeline for you that's going to go from code to build to test to deploy. I simply click on configure, and I'm going to be presented a blade that's going to allow me to configure all the different parts of my deployment. First, I want to choose the repository, which is the team services account that we created a moment ago. I want to point to that account into that project so that I can pull the code in. So I'm going to go to demonstrations, which is where I built that. I'm then going to come over here to DevOps from the portal, which is what we're working with. And then I'm going to go ahead and click on OK. Now it's saying, great, what about your build? Where do you actually want us to, what type of application are we actually building for you? Right now we have ASP and ASP.NET Core. You can imagine this list is going to start to grow because App Service already supports Golang and PHP and Python and Java and all sorts of different languages. So we're going to actually have to increase the list of options in here. But now that it's in preview, we started off with ASP. Now what we're going to do now is go ahead and say OK to that. And now we can actually run load test. If you've ever set up load test in the past, it can be quite daunting because you need what we call a test rig. And a test rig is a computer that is the controller and that has all of these other computers whose sole purpose in life is to generate load upon your application and bring it to its knees so that you can go back in and find out where your bottlenecks are. Setting up that rig is not easy. I've set up a couple of them in my lifetime and they were never fun to do. Now what we allow you to do is actually generate the load from Azure. And that way, when you no longer need the machines, those machines are no longer being billed to you. When you stand up a rig in physical hardware, like I've done in the past, you're paying for those machines if you're running load test or not. It's quite an expensive endeavor to go down. But now I can simply say, yes, I would like you to run load test against my application for me. And matter of fact, what I want you to do is I want you to create an exact duplicate of my website such that when you're running load against the test one, you're not impacting the performance of my production one. Because if we put them on the same app service and everything, they literally are sharing the same machine, and therefore that impact of the load that you're putting on one will actually impact the other. So this way you're like, okay, we're gonna separate everything so that it's an exact duplicate, but not the exact same hardware that you're running before. You say, perfect, go do that for me. And then we're gonna talk about deployment slots. Deployment slots are one of my favorite features of App Service. It gives me the ability to have sort of like a back door or a shadow copy of what you're seeing running in production. And I can be deploying to the staging slot while production is happily serving all of my users. So my users are sitting there still using the application like normal. I can then take my time and copy all my files to the staging slot. That staging slot is a real website. And I can go then after I deploy all my code and I can do some smoke test, I can poke around the application, make sure everything looks right, and then when I'm ready, I swap the slots and everything just swaps over instantly. It's just a IP swap. And then everyone's now looking at the staging slot, which is now production, and what was production is now staging. Which is also cool if once a lot of people hit it with load, I realize, whoa, we made a huge mistake. I can simply swap them back. And the next thing you know, what was production and swapping and staging all swap back again, and everyone's back to working and happy. I can go figure out what was wrong with my features, push them back into staging, and then swap them back again. And what I really like about that is that if you have a large site and a lot of changes, that copying can sometimes take a long time, and you don't want your customers not to be able to access your site while you're updating it. Deployment slots allow you to update it while the site's running and then swap them once it's done and your customers have a zero downtime deployment. So we're definitely going to enable that. So I'm going to click on yes. And it's basically say, what slot would you like me to create? I'm going to create it called staging and I simply click on OK. So now what's going to happen is I'm going to click on OK. And what should happen here, I'm saying should because we've had some issues. Again, it's in preview and we're working through this. That's why I baked a cake before I got here. But what should happen is we're going to create an entire pipeline for you in the project that I created earlier. That means it's going to create a CI build for us. It's going to also create a continuous delivery pipeline. It's going to run load test for us. And it's even going to use slots to be able to do the deployment into production and build all of that for me. And then even trigger a build for that initial deployment. Because right now my website's empty and it will take the code directly from the new code that I actually put inside my project here in just a moment. So it's off hard at work making sure that I get the pipeline that I need created. So this is equivalent to what I was doing on stage earlier or yesterday in the keynote where I actually went and I created my own CI system and I created my own release system. So here I've seen this error earlier today. That's why I baked a cake, but I'm going to try one more time and see if we can kick the tires of this thing and make it go a little bit further. If not, I'll take you through the demonstration of the one I've already done to show you exactly what will happen. I'm not sure why we're having some flaky behavior today, but I want to make sure that you see exactly what I wanted you to see. So we're going to give it one more try. I'm going to go through very quickly, tell it exactly what I want it to do. And then let's see if we can get it to kick a little bit further this time. That all looks good. So it obviously started creating some of this stuff because it realized that a lot of that stuff already existed. We're having a little bit of trouble creating that final release definition inside of our project. We'll see if it gets a little further this time. While that's actually working, I think I'm going to go ahead and show you what will get created for you automatically. So let's go back and go to our dashboard here. Yeah, we're still having some trouble there. So let's just go ahead and pull that cake out of the oven that's already been baked and show you exactly what I want to show you. So here in my dry run that I did earlier, I was able to get everything to go through as I wanted it to go through. And if you go back to that same blade we had earlier, you'll be able to see exactly what happens here. So you'll see some logs here where we were able to do a deployment. So again, you'll be able to surface this information. And as you can see, even in my dry run earlier today, I did have some issues getting it to finally fire up. Now, this is a new development. I did this demo practicing for it last week several times with no issues. I think it started Monday. We started having some problems here, so our team is going to go off and start figuring out what's going on there again. Again, this is in preview. We're quickly trying to iterate over this and make things better, so I'm just being completely transparent and open with you guys. We are going to make this right for you, and it actually can work, as you can see here. So let me go show you what gets created while we basically dust off what's going on here. So this is the view that you're going to have inside of Azure. Your IT pro can come here, see the results of the last builds, get information about the commits, and even jump over to Visual Studio Team Services directly from the Azure portal. So those links are now deep links inside of Visual Studio Team Services so that I can actually see the build that was created for me. So let's go look at the anatomy of this particular build by simply editing it. So if I go to edit this build, you can see that it created a build for me using the NuGet restore for my packages, builds it using Visual Studio, runs my unit test for me if there are any in my project already. It then publishes the symbols and also publishes artifacts. The artifacts are the part of your build that you're going to want to deploy inside of release management. If you're doing web development, that might be a zip file. If you're doing infrastructure as code, that's going to be ARM templates or chef recipes or whatever tool of choice you're using for your orchestration for your infrastructure as code and configuration as code. Those artifacts would basically be stored for you so that they can be pulled down in our release management system. For those who didn't see the keynote, just very quickly, our task list is amazing. It has an enormous list of tasks in there that allow you to deploy to on-prem or in the cloud, to Azure. There's lots of tools in here you probably recognize. You'll see that we're ready for Cordova, we're ready for Xamarin. We allow you to do anything you can possibly do from a command line. You can now do it from our build system. The heavy lifter for our build system is what we call our build agent. That agent will install on Linux, Windows, and Mac. So these tasks, the majority of them run on all three platforms so that no matter where you want to build your code, we're there to build them for you. This list has gotten so long, we had to implement search. So if I were to go and type Azure for an example, you'll see all of the different tasks that we have available for you to go directly to Azure. We're trying to reduce as much of the friction as we possibly can and just make it a no-brainer for you to be able to move your code right into Azure using our build system. Once the build is done, let's go look at a build summary here real quick. Once the build is done, it basically starts a release. So let's go look at our summary. And from here on the bottom, we're going to be able to see our release that deployed earlier today when I was playing with this. So down here at the bottom, we have deployments. And then here, we're basically going to go to release number one. Release number one shows me everything that actually happened during that release. So let me show you the environments. An environment in our release management system is just a logical grouping of any and everything that you want to happen inside of this quote-unquote environment. Environment's a funny little word here because it doesn't have to map to a physical machine or set of machines. It can literally map to whatever you want. You could generate database scripts in one of these quote-unquote environments and then deploy them in the next one, even though they're both going towards the development environment. So please free your minds. Think of these as just boxes in which I want to put tasks that I want to perform. And what's really cool about these little boxes is that you can have approvers before and after those boxes. So at this point, I can come in and say I'd like to have approvers before I enter this environment, and I'd like to have approvers after the code has been deployed successfully to this environment. This would allow me to put people that say, I protect this environment. I don't want any code going into this environment without me knowing about it. Make me the approver going in. And that way the system will ask for your permission or a group of people's permission to then move that code inside that environment. If they all get the thumbs up, the system will automatically deploy inside that environment. But you might think that's good enough. Why would I need one on the outside? Because let's say it's a QA environment and your QA people have gone in and done a battery of testing. They found lots of technical debt and bugs, and they don't want this code going any further down the pipeline. They actually can have the authority as a post-deployment approver saying, nope, this is no good. I don't want this going into staging or into production. And they can stop it right there before anyone in the downstream environments get inundated with emails about, hey, it's time for you to go and approve this. And here I am trying to stop a runaway train. I have the permission to stop it before it even leaves my environment. So that's a nice way to have both pre and post deployment approvers, which is one of the really nice features of release management. What we were able to build for you is we actually deployed into that testing website, and then we started running performance tests so we can determine if the application will perform as expected when we take it from this environment and move it into the next environment for you. The next environment is where we're actually using deployment slots. Now, I want to be very clear, the best practice for using deployment slots is to deploy into a slot and then swap them in one environment or in one of these little blocks. Do not deploy into a staging slot here and then swap to the staging slot here. That would be a bad idea, because if something bad were to happen here, you can restart just the production environment. If I restart it and all it does is a swap, what actually is going to happen when I start it for the second time is what I really want in production is about to get swapped out again. And that's not the end goal that I want. You need to build your environment such that if you need to restart them, the end goal of that environment will be the same. And by always deploying fresh code into the staging slot and then swapping it into production, even if I have to restart this, I know I'm going to get the desired end results. So if in production you have a staging slot and a production slot, in staging and in QA and in dev, you better have a staging and a production slot as well. And practice that swapping of the slots in every environment. You don't want to do anything new or for the first time in your production environment, because the only time you'll know if that's going to work or not is when you finally do it in production. I try to make sure that all of my environments look almost identical. The only exception is I might do some testing and not other testing, but the way that I deploy my code is always exactly the same, so that as I deploy through dev and through QA and through staging, I'm building up confidence that I know that I've done all the steps in the right order, I know how the tasks are going to behave, I can anticipate any errors that might potentially happen, and I know if I restart that stage, it's going to perform correctly. So they should look almost identical. Scale and configuration are the two things that I say that you can change. What I mean by scale is you might deploy to more database servers or more app tier servers in one environment than the other. But the way that I deploy to database and the way that I deploy to those app tiers is exactly the same. I just might only deploy to one in dev, 10 in QA, and hundreds potentially in production because of the way that I'm trying to generate my load. So that's where we change the scale of our deployment. The other thing that might change is your configuration, which is I have to change connection strings values that are going to point at different databases in dev than they do in QA than they do in production. And that's fine too. And that also happens through things like configuration variables. For example, if I needed to set connection strings, or I needed to set passwords that are different in dev than in QA, for every environment I can set those values, and then I can basically have those values applied for me using some of the tasks that we have out of the box. The other option is you store all of that information in source control. Some people prefer that. They want everything to be code, and then you can do that as well. But you want to make sure that only the configuration and the scale changes as you move from one environment to the other. Okay. So again, our system here is very powerful. It has the same task library as we had in our build system. And this, again, was built automatically for us for free. We didn't have to go and build any of this ourselves. It was stood up, but we can come in here and modify it should we want to. So if I go back to the definition and go to edit, what will happen here is I can then go back in and start adding additional tasks. We have different categories to make it a little easier for you to find what you're looking for. We have database support, not only with SSDT, but also the announcement that we made with Redgate at the launch event, so that you can actually use Redgate ReadyRoll. That gives you the power of migrations even if you're not using Entity Framework. Obviously, Entity Framework has code-first migrations in there, so we're trying to give you as many options as we possibly can when it comes to database, and you can actually find those tasks right here inside of our library. We also allow lots of different testing. We obviously have Xamarin Test Cloud. We have partners like Perfecto Mobile who also allow you to test on mobile devices as well. So we want to make sure that you realize that we can do all sorts of cool things inside of our build and our release pipeline as well. Again, this was all built for you, and I just wanted to make sure that you saw what was going to happen, and we'll fix the stuff that's happening in the portal today. So what I want to do now is switch back over to my slide deck, which is actually in my Linux machine. So let me log back over here. And then get back over into my PowerPoint. So we've configured CI and CD inside of Team Services. And now let's go back. One of the things I also wanted to talk about with Team Services, again, it's any language, any platform. I can't stress that enough. I can't tell you how many people just believe it's Windows and .NET. That cannot be further from the truth. Team Services is everything that you possibly need. I've already taken you on a tour of our CI and CD system so we can get past that. And now what I want to do is wrap it up. I also have my buddy here, Seth, was going to join me here for the last 10 minutes, and we're basically just going to talk about some of the different concepts around DevOps. So what we're going to do here is take a quick break, get Seth wrapped up and mic'd up so that we can go ahead and have a quick chat.
Dude. All right, we're back. And so I'm here to ask questions, man, because I saw your demo and I was like, okay, love the whole Azure portal experience, but there's some people are like, well, what if I just want to get into the command line and do my magic stuff there? I saw there was a Yeoman generator thing. I saw briefly a little bit of it yesterday. I had to step out for just a second. I want you to show us that experience because I have some questions.
All right, cool. So you can actually do that from any PowerShell that you want.
And it has to be PowerShell.
It does today have to be PowerShell. And the reason I did that is because PowerShell is now open source. It works on Mac, Windows, and Linux, right? And the fact that it worked went to all three of them is when I got excited about it as well. So if I were to let's just go to my D drive here. And let's go into my temp directory. I got some garbage in here. But what you do is you just type yo team. And what it's going to do is it's going to start asking you some questions. And the questions that it asks you are the ones that allow you to basically go back in and create an entire DevOps pipeline right from the command line.
So this is a Yeoman generator.
It's completely open source as well. So let me show you that as well. Because if you go to GitHub, and I have a GitHub page here, and what we're going to be able to do is show you exactly, that's going to want me to verify my password.
Give me 1 second. I just verify. I mean, two-factor authentication is super important.
It is.
You can turn on all your things right now. Because this is super important. Because one day, someone is not going to have this on. They're going to lose all their stuff. Trust me. All right, so here we are.
Yeah, so this is basically the repo for the generator, which anyone can come and actually issue pull requests for me. I've actually submitted some pull requests already for this particular item that people have come in and added to it. Because I wrote this as basically a result of, I do these demos all the time.
Sure.
I want to show people how easy it is. And I was doing, actually it was when we were in New Zealand together.
That's right.
You remember I did the demo where I said, I'm going to let you pick the language, I'm going to let you pick the platform, and I'm going to let you pick the what computer I do it on. Mm-hmm. And in my back pocket I had this, so no matter what the answers were, I was still going to go to PowerShell, type in a few commands, and it was going to generate everything that
I
needed.
And you were like, boy, this is so handy, I should
start open sourcing this and giving this away for everyone. Cool. And I'm going to let everyone in on one little secret here as well. One secret that you guys are going to want to know and been asking about is, how in the world do you type so fast? What I use is something called auto hotkey, and I need to turn that on right now. So I'm going to go ahead and double click on this guy. This little magical person pops up, and now I can go back over into my browser here, and I can start doing really cool things like this, right? So that starts to type for me. So everyone who tweeted at me, how in the world does Donovan type so fast? The trick is auto hotkey.
And so is this like looking at, could I hook this up to Team Services, Visual Studio Team Services, and do stuff there, or is it just a local TFS?
Great question. So it actually works for both, right? Okay. That's why I had to change the name. When I first wrote it, it was called Yo VSTS, and it only worked for VSTS. Then when I went to Europe, they said, we really love to have this for TFS. So on the flight home, I wrote Yo TFS, and I realized that they were so similar that I could probably write one tool that did them both, which is what Yo Team does. Because it doesn't matter if it's Team Foundation Server or Visual Studio Services. Okay. All you do is you give me a different URL here, and then I know if I'm going to a local server or if I'm going to Team Services.
Oh, I see. So my demos is a local thing. Otherwise, I'd have sethjuarez.visualstudio.com or whatever.
Other way around. If you have Seth Juarez, you would just put Seth Juarez. I would know the rest is visualstudio.com. If it's local for TFS, you would put in the full URL, TFS, WAC 8080, blah, blah, blah.
Perfect.
Right, and then I would know. Okay. And then all I'm doing now is saying, hey, you got all these different queues you might want to use. Let me go ahead and pick a queue. I can pick whatever language I want, for example.
Let's do .NET Core.
.NET Core. And then here I would do ASP demo.
So this is making a new project that's already having the pipeline set up in VST.
Exactly. Okay. Now, that's a really good clarification because the tool can actually be used against existing projects as well. If you don't need source code and you already have it, you can actually type yo team:pipeline and just say, I want you to add a pipeline to an existing project and existing code for me. You don't have to type yo team. Yo team assumes you have no source code, no project, no nothing.
Okay.
And it's going to go create all that stuff for us. Do you want to go to Docker or do you want to go to App
Let's
Service?
Let's do App Service because that's the one that I'm used to.
Okay, so we're going to App Service and then it's basically saying, what subscription do you want to use? And then it's asking you, do you want to develop now or do you want to develop later? I want to develop later, which means it's going to go create all the source code for me, but it's not going to run NuGet. It's not going to run NPM. It's not going to basically download my dependencies.
So is it source code like a blank .NET Core project?
Hello world, pretty much. Hello world.
And it's like just a regular console type application?
No, it's not. It's actually a full-blown web app.
Okay, web app.
Yeah, yeah. Full-blown MVC web application is what's going to be generated for you. So it's going to Team Services right now and literally creating a new team project called ASP Demos. After the project is created, it's going to clone the repo down to my hard drive, which is empty, but then it's going to put all the files inside of that particular...
Oh, I see.
Commit it all for me so that I have this beautiful blank desktop. So he says, hey, it looks like you cloned an empty repo. No problem, because I'm going to give you code here in just a second.
Sure, sure.
And now what it did is it says, hey, I found the subscription you wanted to use, and now you got to remember, we have to wire our subscription to our Azure account, to our VSTS, and that's what it's doing right now. It says, I'm creating it.
Because now you're going to have this full pipeline where it's like, I want to build it now. It's going to have that standard build for .NET Core website.
Yep.
Okay. To an app service, web app service.
Right. So what we're going to do is we're going to give you the CI build, and we're going to give you the CD. We're going to give you the pipeline, too. And that pipeline is going to have dev, QA, and prod. It's going to have a load test in QA for you. It's going to have approvers already set up to approve going into QA into prod. It's like, if I were to build my own DevOps pipeline, this is what I'd want, and I just build it for you.
Is it putting the dev and the prod things? I know with an ARM template, you can actually say a web app has certain different sort of deployment staging and dev. And is it going to do that too?
What it's going to do for us is it's actually going to create three different resource groups in Azure, one for your dev environment, one for your QA, and one for your production.
I see.
What's really nice about that is you could go in later, and you can see on the screen now we're done. It's created all the source code for us. It actually put all the source code into our repo. And it even does the initial commit to Git for you so you don't have to remember all the commands to do your Git commands. So what it's telling me now on the screen is that all you have to do, Donovan, is transfer into that folder and then type git push. So that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to cd into the ASP.NET demo folder that was created.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we're going to do now is simply do what the screen is telling me to do, which is do a git push.
So let's cut to the screen if we're not. I want people to see this.
Yeah. So this is the screen, what it looks like after it's run for you. It says, I found everything. I created everything. I created your release. I created your build. And now what it's saying here is that, hey, all you have to do, Donovan, is just cd over into ASP.NET demo and do a git push. So when I do a git push, it's going to take the code off my hard drive and push it to that remote repo inside of Team Services.
And the CI engine is going to take off and do a deployment?
Yeah, so what's going to happen, I'm going to take you right there. So what we're going to do is we're going to start a browser, mm-hmm. and we're going to jump over into our Team Services account. So this is the Team Services account that was created for us.
Okay.
Let me plug my computer in here real quick.
No problem.
And if you go over to build for me real quick.
I'm going
to
go there right now.
And then you're going to be able to see that we created a build definition that's already running.
Okay, so this is the thing that
was just created for you.
That
so the Yeoman generator creates the team project, it creates the build, it creates the release, it creates your source code, all by simply typing yo team, answering a few questions.
So now I understand why it's running in PowerShell, because the Yeoman generator is going to execute a series of gulp tasks that might call out to PowerShell.
Actually, it's not running gulp tasks. Good question. It's actually running REST API calls. So everything that you can do in Visual Studio Team Services, you can do via REST.
Got it.
So what the PowerShell is doing is calling the REST endpoints to go create a build definition, like what you just did. Create a release, create a project. And now that this build is done, it's actually going to go off and start trying to deploy it, which you can see down here in the corner. So if we were to zoom in down here, you can see it's already trying to deploy our software. And it has three environments it's going to go through, dev, QA, and prod. If I go to release one, it's doing that right now. So what's funny is, what I was trying to do from the Azure portal, which we're going to keep polishing that, is basically allow you to do exactly what we just did from the command line, from the portal without ever having to learn
PowerShell. Are we able to open it? We have like 30 seconds.
Sure. Probably. So if you want to go and look at the environments that were created, this is what was created for you. It uses infrastructure as code, so it's using ARM templates to stand up that environment. It then deploys inside of it. In QA, I go further and even run performance tests for you. And then in production, we go ahead and deploy it the same way. This goes back to what I was saying during the demo, guys. Do exactly the same thing in every environment. I do ARM, and then I do a deployment. The only difference is configuration and scale. I configure them differently because they point at different resource groups. And the scale, you can almost say the scale of testing has gone from one test to zero test, but that's just scale. It wasn't changing the way that I deploy my application.
So if you're doing greenfield, you should go.
Yes, it's the quickest way to get going. And if you're doing brownfield, what you do is you simply come back over here and you would type something like yo team, and then you could type pipeline. And what all it's going to do is it's going to ask you a subset of questions that only add a pipeline to an existing project. So even if it's brownfield, this can actually add value.
Ooh.
Exactly.
Well, I need to have you come back because I have an open source .NET standard library that's on GitHub already that I need to do a CI/CD thing.
Perfect.
So we're going to have to do that later because we're out of time. But this was absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for spending the last 10 minutes.
No, thanks for coming in, man.
All right, dude. And
appreciate
I'll let you take it out.
Take care, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks for joining.